from the Daily News, the great columnist Marcus Hazelwood. Hi, Marcus.
Hi, Angelo. What's going on, man?
You're not on a farm again today, are you, Marcus?
I am not, Angelo. I'm walking a ridiculously small white dog that's part poodle. I don't know what my life has come to.
Hey, let me tell you. Yesterday, I was walking my dog, and he got into an altercation with a bunny. And the bunny, frankly, I think was more, it would have beaten him.
Yeah.
I had to separate him.
There was a day, Angelo, when dogs were dogs and men were men.
All right, Marcus, let's start right in with this one, all right? You got on my nerves a little bit yesterday, Marcus, when you wrote a column saying that you want Markel Fultz to start by coming off the bench. Explain your thinking, please.
Well, assuming you still have Jared Bayless and T.J. McConnell on the team, two guys who are serviceable point guards in this league, especially as a backup. I think T.J. is going to have a good long career as a backup. You have two other guys who you hope can play point guard at some point, but have never obviously played point guard in the NBA and weren't all that accomplished as college players, quite frankly. I mean, you win 9 games, you might be the most talented guy, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to rock everybody's world in the NBA. All that said, I don't see the logic. I think it could be much more difficult for both Ben Simmons, who's being converted from power forward, and Markel Fultz, who has the capacity to be a good shooting guard. It would be very difficult for them to be put in tandem and progress as quickly as compared with if they had like somebody to guide them. Like if you have if you yoke two oxen together, you don't put two oxen together who've never pulled a wagon.
I see.
And then you leave them together forever. So maybe that's not the best analogy. But
I know what you mean. You want to see Simmons, and then you assimilate Fultz when he gets, when he gets into the run of things.
Well, yeah, and you this way, neither one of them is in full panic mode because, it's really hard playing point guard in the NBA. I use some examples in that column. Even Chris Paul, who I believe is the best point guard, pure point guard of this generation. And I think has the greatest, the highest assist to turnover ratio in history. His first two seasons, he was a full assist worse, which I think still would make him highest assist to turnover ratio guy in history. But it's just a very, very difficult thing. It's a lot like playing quarterback in the NFL. You can take your lumps, but I don't know if you need to take your lumps with two guys as opposed to one.
Mark, is this the thing about it that, you're one of the boldest writers in this town. You have very innovative ideas. They're not the usual cliche stuff. And aren't you impatient? As somebody covering sports in a town that hasn't had a lot going on for a while now, aren't you dying to see some of these kids become stars as soon as possible so we all can get excited again?
Well, that's the interesting kind of thing. I think I'm the only columnist in the country or sports writer in the country who doesn't really care. I want the teams to do well because it makes for better stories and more people read my stuff, but I don't really care if they win or lose. I kind of root for the story. So it'd be compelling to me to see Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and Markel Fultz and Dario Saric sort of go on this sort of normal climb and this predictable arc, but it's not going to happen. And, as a writer, I rejoice in that because that's interesting. What would be more interesting? Joel Embiid winning the Rookie of the Year and Ben Simmons having a good year, or them having the kind of crazy stuff that happened last year and Brian Colangelo lying about it all.
No, you're right, except so you're rooting for the story. I fully understand that. I once did that job. But, Marcus, isn't the story always better when more fans are into it because the team has a chance to do something?
Well, yes and no. I mean, again, the most compelling story in the league last year was the Sixers because of the soap opera that the injuries and the mismanagement, a fourth year of mismanagement under a brand new regime created. So, yeah, honestly, Angelo, it's always better to cover a team that's winning and gives you good stories.
Right.
The teams that are winning seldom give you good stories because they have players on them whose stories you already know.
That's a great – I have never heard it expressed so right. Al, he is right about that, that sometimes the best story – Sam Hinkie, Marcus, in the last 5 years, Sam Hinkie is one of the best stories in America, isn't it? Even though he lost at a ridiculously high rate. because he did things differently than anybody else had ever done.
Hey, man. Sam Hinkie and Chip Kelly were spectacular for Marcus Hayes. I mean, just unbelievable. I am a huge fan of them intellectually, conceptually, yeah. And I think both of them should be either coaching or being a general manager. I think there's more there to them, and I think they can learn. But for me, I mean, those guys were just, you know, you get two inexperienced, arrogant, stubborn people together, and you either have great stories or a morning show.
All right. You know what? This is going in such a fun direction for me, Marcus, because in that way we think alike. We're always looking for the next big story that's going to fuel a lot of excitement in the city. Saying that, then, Embiid is head and shoulders above any of these other prospects we're looking at because he brings all that personality and because there are all these questions about his health. He's the best story among all the prospects. True or false?
It's not even close.
Not even
Joel
close.
Joel Embiid, I'll go on record right now as saying there's never been a player in the league like Michael Jordan or Wilt Chamberlain or LeBron James or Joel Embiid. The things he does physically, we just haven't seen before. I can't wait to see him take the next step, and I'm rooting for him to be healthy so that happens. So to that degree, I'm a fan of Joel Embiid. But also, he's very bright. He's multilingual. He is a brilliant marketer, and he is absolutely shameless. You know, he tries to get dates. He tries to get on the All-Star. He tries to get on the All-Star team. He tries to get dates. He tries to win the Rookie of the Year over his teammate, then promotes his teammate. I mean, it's almost as if he needs a therapist, you know? He's like the second most entertaining tweeter in the country after the president.
I love this. You know, he is probably in the top 10, right, Marcus? He's always got something.
Every time he drops something, it's provocative, usually funny, and he's really, really smart. That's the thing. You know, you look at, I can't speak to folks because he hasn't been here very long, but the other three guys are all international, are all very smart, are all very bold. I mean, we could have a golden era of coverage if this team doesn't ever win a playoff series. They're going to say stuff, and they're going to do stuff. They're interesting young men.
Let me steer you into a guy who doesn't have the record of achievement, but is compelling. Odubel Herrera. All right, Marcus, from your perspective, where does he rank among the most interesting players, even though he's not really enjoying all that much success?
He's incredibly compelling to me as a baseball guy, and I'm a very patient person when it comes to baseball. I don't care if it takes, you know, an extra year. I don't care if all those prospects down in AAA, if they say, well, we think they need another half season, fine by me, you know, because you can't have too much minor leagues in Major League Baseball. Herrera is the kind of guy who 2 or 3 years from now is going to be a perennial all-star, or he's just going to be one of those guys that goes from team to team and has issues all the time. And he's not a bad guy. He's not, you know, Milton Bradley. You know, he's not a problem child. He's just sort of scatterbrained, but immensely talented. If he stays in shape, and if he begins to work on his craft, he could be a spectacular talent and fun. He's another guy. He's totally irrepressible. He does not care what you think.
That's fascinating. All right, one last one, Marcus, because you really look at sports differently than most people, and that's what I'm fascinated by. So when a guy comes up, Scott Kingery comes up to the big leagues or somebody like that, you're looking at him as a player, but that's only part of it for you, right? Then you look at him as, well, what's the story? What does he act like? How much does he provide in input that I can use in the way I do my job? That's a big component for you when you're looking at a young player.
Well, that's the most important component. My contention, you know, consider a guy like Ryan Leaf or a guy like Dominic Brown, guys with immense talent, but, you know, what's going on between their ears? My contention is the most important part of any person's makeup, athlete or radio host or, you know, mediocre columnist, is how do they think about things? How do they process things, and what motivates them? So Scott Kingery, the guys I'm most impressed with at AAA right now,
yes,
are Rhys Hoskins and Jorge Alfaro, because they are grown men who are professional and accountable and patient. They understand they need to grow. They understand this is the goal. The goal isn't getting to the major leagues. The goal is being better tomorrow. And therefore, those are the guys I would bet on among all these wonderful, you know, this rich group of hitters we have down in the minor leagues.
Interesting.
So I hardly ever care about physical talent, because physical talent, you've seen it, Angelo, 100,000 times. The most talented guy on the team is very seldom the best player on the team.
All right, but I'm just curious, like, using your definition, that where would Utley rank? Was Utley a guy that was? Yeah, please, Chase, tell me about Utley.
Chase Utley, you know, I always, the people I admire the most, and you're among them, because yep. I knew you before this, and I knew you as this, you know, radio star that you become. Chase Utley operates at 110% capacity all the time. He is by far the most, he's gotten the most out of what he has by far, more than anybody I've ever covered on a daily basis. You know, Michael Jordan did too, and that's why he was Michael Jordan. But Chase Utley was, people like Chase Utley for reasons they can't identify sometimes. That's why you like Chase Utley, because every day Chase Utley got the most out of it, and he still is.
Tremendous. I got to tell you, Marcus, you're one of the most fascinating people. I really appreciate the compliment, but you're fascinating to talk to. You got to read him every day. Philadelphia Daily News, is nobody doing it better.